Thank you for tuning in to the Living Bread Podcast. We hope that your spirit will be lifted and your heart comforted by today's sermon. Pastor Brian Bohr is the senior pastor at Living Bread Church and is a passionate minister of the grace and blessing of God. Now here is Pastor Brian in his sermon titled, Supernatural Power to Change What We See.
Praise God. Mark chapter 4. Notice here, we looked at this scripture last week, and by the Holy Spirit said, go back over these things, because he said, you've entered into a new season. This is a new season for the people of God. And he said, this is not a sermon or a series, but this is a season to reveal the mysteries of faith, that people do not understand faith like they think they understand faith. So right here in Mark, the 4th chapter, verse 11, now he said unto them, of course, this is Jesus speaking. Notice what he said. Unto you it is given, he said, unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God. He said, unto you it is given. These mysteries are, other translations say, secrets. Secrets of the kingdom. He said, you should know the secrets of the kingdom of God. But unto them that are without, he said, all these things are done in parables. Now let's focus just for a moment on this term, but unto them that are without. What are they without of? They're without knowledge, mainly what he's talking about. They're without knowledge. But those that have knowledge, and that's what causes, you know, power and faith to move in your life, but the knowledge of God. But without knowledge, he said, these things are just parables. What he's saying here, the parables, you know, are interesting, but they're basically powerless. But when you understand the mysteries that come through the knowledge of God, the mysteries of the kingdom of God, the mysteries, automatically, there is a transferring of power through the knowledge of God into your life. Now, one of the mysteries of the kingdom of God is the mystery of faith. And faith was never meant to be a mystery. It's to be something that you know. Praise God. And write this down. Faith is the currency of heaven. Faith is the currency of the kingdom of God. You know, if you go to a foreign country, you got to operate with their currency, whatever currency they're operating on. We're operating on the American currency right here. But if you want to operate in the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven, faith is that currency that allows you to operate in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven right here on earth. See, when Jesus was on earth, he was operating in the kingdom of God. He knew the kingdom of God principles. And you should know these principles, because these principles will work for you, praise God. They will work for you. Now look over here, if you would, to the 5th chapter. In the 5th chapter of the book of Mark, the Bible said in verse 1, and they came over unto the other side. This is Jesus and the disciples. Just got mighty storm. The good news about going through a storm is that God will bring you through the storm. The storm's not going to destroy you nor kill you. You're going to come out on the other side, praise God. So the Bible said they came over unto the other side of the sea, into the country of the Gadareans. So here, Jesus is invading new territory. Faith will take you into new territory that you've never been in before. Unbelief keeps you in the territory called the natural, where you're just naturally controlled by the environment of this world, the problems of this world, the financial difficulties of this world, the sorrows of this world. God never intended for his people to be controlled by the environment of this world. God intended for his people to control the environment of the world. Don't shout me down now. Praise God. You were doing some good shouting on Wednesday night. Now, Sunday morning, you become a little silent mouse. So here, they came to the other side of the Gadareans. What I'm saying here, the faith of God, the currency of the kingdom of God, which you have this currency. You're not trying to get this currency. You got this currency. The currency called faith. It will allow you to go into new territory. Praise God. Now notice verse 2. And when he come out of the ship, immediately the Bible said there met him out of the tomb a man with an unclean spirit. So immediately Jesus was confronted. If Jesus was confronted, you can be confronted also. If Jesus was confronted, if there was opposition in his life, there'll be opposition in your life. The enemy will not allow you just to walk through this life without a confrontation. But notice here, there was a man, the Bible said. This man had an unclean spirit. Now, there are several things that you need to know about unclean spirits. These are the spirits that oppress people. The unclean spirits are the spirits that are disembodied, looking for somebody that will allow them to come into their life, into their mind, so they can torment them. But you have power over them. They do not have power over you. But if you yield to the enemy will torment you. That's why the Bible teaches you not to yield to certain thoughts. Because that's how the enemy gets into your life. He gets into your life through your thought life or through the realm or the door of the imagination. What you begin to imagine, what you begin to think on, what you begin to ponder on, what you begin to meditate on could oppress you eventually. Because you're given access to wrong thoughts. You have authority over your thoughts. The Bible teaches you that thoughts don't have to dominate you. Paul said these one word. He said in Philippians, the fourth chapter, he said, think on these things. See, when you begin to manage your mind and you have a mind that is ruled by the word, it's not long that your body gets ruled by the word. But you will have to rule your thoughts and not allow certain thoughts to remain. Because if you allow them to remain, they will make themselves at home and they'll become strongholds. But the prophetic and the anointed word of God, hallelujah, has power to destroy every stronghold that is here all at once. In Jesus' name, Satan and his kingdom can come down in your life. I said, Satan and his kingdom can come down in your life. Hallelujah. The anointing that's in the word can bring down. So these unclean spirits, what they are, they're unclean. They have unclean thoughts. They have tormenting thoughts. This man did not get oppressed without first yielding unto this unclean spirit. See, the Bible says in Ephesians 4:27, write that scripture down. The Bible says, resist the devil. Amen. Don't assist the devil. Isn't that right, Brother Tony? Resist the devil. And he will flee from you. The word flee means he will run from you. If you resist him, you say, how do you resist him? You resist him with the word. You resist him in faith. You understand the currency of faith allows you to operate in a kingdom that you cannot see, but you know is real. You can't see unclean spirits. You can't see angels, but you know they're real because they abide in the kingdom. They're in the spirit realm. They're in the unseen realm. But the word of God is master in that realm. Faith is a master in that realm. When you release that faith that's on the inside of you, praise God, automatically demon spirits and the darkness begins to be removed from your life. And unclean spirits, you know, many times they rule the church through religiosity. Anytime, you know, the religious group, you know, is, you know, thinking out loud, unclean spirits is ruling there. We looked at that last week, how this man that had an unclean spirit was in the synagogue. He wasn't outside, he was inside the synagogue. And religion always says, it always starts off this way. You always know if a religion or a religious spirit is in control in a person's life, because this is how they start off their communication. I don't believe in that. I don't believe in women preachers. I don't believe this and that. They haven't told you anything. They haven't told you what they do believe. They only tell you what they do not believe. There's no power in telling somebody what you do not believe. Turn to your neighbor and tell them they don't really care what you do not believe. Mountains are not removed by what you do not believe. Well, I don't believe, you know, that this should happen. I don't believe in that. They're full of I do not believe. So that's a religious spirit that hangs out in the church that gets a person not to believe. Mountains are not removed by what you do not believe. Praise God. Mountains are removed by what you do believe. Last week, I came to the church and the Lord asked me to ask you one question. Do you believe in Jesus? And most of you raised your hand. I ask you one question. I want to ask you today, do you believe in Jesus? Raise your hand. Do you believe in Jesus? Praise God. Hallelujah. Well, if you believe in Jesus, he said, the works I do shall you do also in greater works than these because I go unto my Father. If you believe in Jesus, you believe in his words. It was his words that caused him to do what he did with the agreement and cooperation of the Holy Spirit. And that's why when he stood up to minister the word of God and speak, unclean spirits knew they were defeated immediately. And every unclean spirit that would try to torment you is defeated right now in the name of Jesus. All you have to do is know the word gives you power over them and command them to leave your life. So go ahead and command them to go in the name of Jesus. Amen. All unclean, tormenting spirits, leave my life in Jesus' name. Go ahead and say, all unclean spirits and tormenting spirits, leave my life, leave my home, leave my family, leave my children, leave my grandchildren, leave my great-grandchildren in Jesus' name. Amen. Because you've been given that authority. Amen. They must obey. They're submitted in the kingdom of God to the word of God. You don't have to, you know, do anything to get them submitted. They're already under the pecking order of the lordship of Jesus Christ because he was raised from the dead. He defeated them. You don't have to defeat them. He defeated them. Praise God. He's the head of the church. You're not the head of the church. You're just a person here in the church. You're part of the body of Christ with the word living on the inside of you. The same word that lived in Jesus now lives on the inside of you. Well, these unclean spirits, notice here, verse 3, the Bible said, this man that had an unclean spirit, the Bible said, when he come out of the ship immediately, there met him out of the tombs a man with an unclean spirit. So you know something's wrong. This man is living in the cemetery. There's something wrong with somebody that hangs out in the cemetery. There's something wrong with a generation of people that want to study the walking dead and the dead people. There's something wrong with people that want to study zombies. There's something wrong with people that want to study witchcraft and sorcery. There's something wrong with people that want to study the dead. There's something wrong with those people. It's unclean spirits that cause a person to study that. Well, this man was living among the cemetery, living in the tomb. I heard this story about this guy that he was walking home late one night, about 11 o'clock at night. And he decided to take a shortcut through the cemetery. And as he was cutting through the cemetery, he fell into a grave that was freshly dug. And he tried all he could to get out. He jumped, he jumped, he jumped, he jumped, and he jumped, and he couldn't get out. And all of a sudden, a voice from the back corner said, "You'll never get out of here." But he did. Verse 3, the Bible said, this man dwelt among the tombs, and no man could bind him, no, not with chains, because that he had been often bound with fetters and chains, and the chains had been plucked asunder by him, and the fetters broken into pieces, neither could any man tame him. So this was an untamable man that they tried to chain up. But this man had supernatural powers working in him. Demonic powers were working in him. And these demonic powers tried to exercise their power. Now, these miracles that took place, none of these miracles are written down by accident. This is a demonstration right here to show you, no matter how demonic and no matter how big the enemy demonstrates his power in the outer realm, if he could lift a truck, you know, if he could lift three trucks, it does not matter how much power he demonstrates in the outer realm. When you see that on television, always know that God's word living in you has greater power. That was a very weak amen. You thought I was going to say God has greater power and you were going to give me a big amen. If I would have said God has bigger power, you would have gave me a big amen. No, I'm saying God's word living in you has greater power. You have to have confidence in the word of God living on the inside of you. That God's word living on the inside of you is greater than any demonstration in the outer realm that Satan can perform. You may be even amazed at his performance. You may go, whoa. But always know, praise God, snap right back into the spirit. Don't get in fear. Always know, praise God, the greater one, a greater power lives on the inside of you. 1 John 4:4, you're of God, little children, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. What is in the world? Well, John said an antichrist spirit is in the world. It's antichrist. It's anti-Christ Jesus. It's anti the anointing. But the greater one lives on the inside of you. So you have to have confidence, even though you see something in the outer realm that looks like there's a great demonstration. You have to have confidence in the word of God, because we're not living by our sight. We're not living by our feelings. We're living by the realities that are in the word of God. So when you understand the mysteries of faith, one of the mysteries of faith that we spoke about last week was this one mystery right here, that we found out that we're not living by what we see. We're living by the unseen. We found out there was a man named Thomas. Look over here to John chapter 20. There was a man named Thomas. I really wasn't finished there in Mark, the fourth chapter, but our fifth chapter. But let's look over here to this man named Thomas, because I want to clear something up that Bill Riley said. How many knows who Bill Riley is? Some of you do, some of you don't. But in John chapter 20, the Bible said right here, all of this is so good. But this is the story after Jesus was raised from the dead. Jesus appeared unto the disciples. But notice what Jesus said, verse 21. Then Jesus said unto them, peace be unto you. As my Father has sent me, even send I you. Peace be unto you. Everybody say peace. Now this word peace here in the Greek is the shalom power of God, which means whatever is broken is going to be fixed. When Jesus said, peace be unto you, he is saying the day of being tormented is over with in your life. When Jesus pronounced the blessing of peace that I'm pronouncing upon you, know that the day of being tormented is over with for your life, praise God. Your days of being tormented is over with because you are accepting the peace of God. And he says, peace be unto you as my Father hath sent me. Notice here, even so send I you. When he said, even so I send you, he's talking about to the same degree I send you as I am sent. I'm not sending you with a lesser power. I'm sending you with the same power. With the same degree that I was sent from the Father, the same degree of power I'm sending you. That means that you have the right to enter into people's homes and lives, and you have a right to pronounce peace upon them. When you come in contact with people that are disturbed, confused, and bound and oppressed, you have the right to pronounce the peace of God upon them. Hallelujah. And then notice what he said. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. He breathed upon them. Did you know the first man, Adam, God breathed into him the breath of life and he became a living spirit? And now we find Jesus acting just like his Father, because he said, the Father sent me, even so I send you. And now we see that Jesus is breathing on them. I mean, that's good breath. A few days ago, I had a guest staying with me, and he was up early in the morning, and I went in there, and he spoke to me, and when he spoke to me, his breath almost knocked me out. I said, man, that's some powerful breath. You need some coffee. I'd rather have coffee breath than what you're giving me right now. I said, keep your distance, brother. You're anointed. That breath is anointed. I said, bro, have you brushed your teeth yet? He said, well, I'm going to get to that right before I leave. I said, man, that breath is scary. I mean, he was 5 feet from me, but Jesus breathed on them. And I want you to know, when he breathed upon them, his breath, his substance, praise God, the very substance that was in him went into them. And he said, receive ye the Holy Ghost, praise God. Then notice what he said right here. Once they got the command and the Holy Spirit, the quickening of the Holy Spirit, once they received that blessing of the Holy Spirit, I thank God for the Holy Spirit. I could talk about him for a few hours. Notice what he said. Jesus said something in verse 23 that's, you know, mind-boggling. Everybody say mind-boggling. Praise God. He says, whosoever sins, ye remit. They are remitted unto them. And whosoever sins ye retain, they are retained. You say, what did he say? If it's mind-boggling, what did he say? Well, he said right there, he said, now that you've received my presence, my breath, my power, my life living on the inside of you, he said, any person that you see, he said, you have the power now working through you to remit their sins. You said, I thought only God could remit their sins. No, Jesus now has remitted their sins and everybody's sins completely. I didn't get an amen on that. He's already remitted people's sins because he was raised from the dead. The sin issue is taken care of. The sin problem, praise God, has been destroyed through the raising of Jesus Christ from the dead. Sin has lost its power, praise God. You're not waiting one day for God to forgive you based on your actions. I'll tell you, Jesus was raised from the dead. When he was raised from the dead, sin is defeated. He said, you're going to walk in a new authority now. He said, everybody under the old covenant, it was all about their sins. But now I want you to know, sins have been remitted, and you have the authority when you're going, when people rise up and say something about their sin that they've committed and they've done, you tell them, that's been remitted. That's been wiped out. Amen. That's been done away with. That's no longer in existence in the economy of God. You say, but I did this and I did that. It's been remitted. What are we discussing it for? Praise God. But you don't know what I've done. It's been remitted. Praise God. Get it off of your head. Don't allow it to be a stronghold in your life anymore. But I've done terrible things. It's been remitted. Don't allow it to be a stronghold anymore. It can hinder you from receiving what God has for you. You begin to announce to people, it's remitted. It's done. It's gone. It's no longer in existence. Hallelujah. That's powerful, because people are sin conscious instead of righteous conscious. People are sin conscious instead of blood conscious. People know more about the gospel of sin. Sin. There's sin. There's sin. Woo! There's sin. Like, I went to this one church and this lady came up to me. She played the organ. She said, what are you going to preach on today? I said, well, and I never tell anybody what I'm going to preach on because I don't really know till I begin to speak. And I'm definitely not going to tell this person. And she's from the country, and she said, she tried to be funny. She said, sin. Preach on sin. And then she said, you know what you're going to preach on now? She said, sin. She said, tell them you're against it. You understand that terminology? Against it? Against it? So, you know, that's what people think the only subject there is of the Bible. The subject of the Bible is sin, and we're against it. The subject of the Bible is not sin. The subject of the Bible is not sin. The subject of the Bible is Jesus. It's not sin. It's Jesus died for your sins, praise God. It's not sin, it's Jesus. Hallelujah. And he triumphed over sin. And you say, but I have done this wrong yesterday. Praise God, you are remitted of that in Jesus' name. You're not under that guilt and that condemnation. God is not holding that against you. God has canceled that through the most powerful event called the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. When God raised him from the dead, praise God, all the debt, praise God, was done away with. The debt's been canceled in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know if you know what a Holy Ghost church is, but just think now, if somebody came in, you know, that was very wealthy and got up and said, I want to make an announcement. I'm canceling everybody's debts in this church. Every person stand up here. Not really. Don't stand up. And just starting right here with Cindy and saying, tell me how much debt you got. And you say, I'm a house note, my car note or whatever. And they said, canceled, 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 canceled. Praise God. And by the time they got to the end, they said, well, I think we ought to praise the Lord. I want you to know it'd be a mighty breakout in here. You wouldn't go home and say, oh, thank you, Lord. Oh, no, I tell you right now. But when you think about all the sin that used to be in the church, and God sent his son, praise God, amen, rich in mercy. He's rich in grace, rich in love, rich in blood, canceling sin, amen. And he said, I'm going to start right here with Cindy again, and I'm going to run through every aisle. I'm going to run down every person, praise God. I'm going to find out every debt of sin that they had, and I'm going to cancel it before they leave here, praise God. I want you to know it'd be a glorious, rejoicing celebration taking place. But some people will still yawn at it and go, I wonder what we're going to eat after church. I want you to know your sins are canceled, praise God. But notice here now, one of the secrets of faith, the mysteries of faith are very important because for you to operate in the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, you got to begin to use the currency of faith. And you have that living on the inside of you. Notice here now, he said, sins are remitted. But Thomas, verse 24, one of the 12, he was one of the 12 disciples called Didymus. He said, was not with them when Jesus came. He was not there. I really don't know where Thomas was, but he wasn't there. This is where we come up with this terminology, doubting Thomas. But I want you to know the history of Thomas was powerful. He had a moment, just like you've had a moment. But I want you to know his future was a powerful future, praise God. Here again, nothing is written by accident. You can waver and God can still use you. You can waver and God will still choose you. You can waver and God will still bring you forth. You can waver and God still has a plan for you, praise God. If you waver, God doesn't throw you out, praise God. If you sink walking on the water, I want you to know you've got an experience with God. It's not, you know, faith, fear and doubt that causes you to sink. I want you to know Peter was a better, greater person of faith once he walked on the water and once he sank. It was a supernatural experience. But Thomas wasn't there when Jesus went into the room. The other disciples, verse 25, therefore said unto him, we have seen the Lord. But Thomas said unto them, except I see in his hands the print of the nails, and put my fingers into the print of the nails, and thrust my hand into his side. Notice what he said. He said, I will not believe. And after 8 days again, his disciples were with him, and Thomas with them. His disciples were within, meaning were within the same place, and Thomas was with them. Then came Jesus. The door being shut, he walked right through the wall, glorified bodies. He had a glorified body, and he stood in the midst, and notice what he announced. He announced again, peace be unto you. When peace is announced, fear goeth. All torment leaves your life. By the Spirit of God, right now, I'm pronouncing peace upon this congregation. I want you to know fear, confusion, doubt, unbelief, oppression, mental torment, addictions are being broken right now. In Jesus' name, I pronounce in the name of Jesus the peace of God over your mind. Your mind is a word rule mind. Your mind is the part of the kingdom of God. It belongs unto your body. It belongs unto your spirit. So I pronounce peace upon you. Peace shall rest upon you. Peace shall go before you. The peace of God shall rest upon you all the days of your life. Your days of being tormented are over with. Can you say amen? Everybody say over with. Done away, no longer, not returning, in Jesus' name. I shall walk in the peace of God. What's broken in my life? The peace of God, the blessing is fixing, correcting, healing in Jesus' name. See, when Jesus entered in, he entered in, he pronounced a blessing upon them. You don't have to have long prayers. When you understand your authority, like Charles Capps, he just passed away, 80-something years of age. He just passed away. And one of his nuggets that he got from the Lord, which was in his book, Creative Power, The Creative Power of God, you know, that little white book. Everybody's read that book, The Creative Force. And so he said these words right here. He said, once a person understands their authority and their dominion, long prayers are not necessary. Once a person understands their authority and their dominion, he said, long prayers are not necessary. Sometimes when people pray long prayers, the longer they pray, the more they go into unbelief and doubt. And some of the prayers are very moving in the natural. I mean, people get to swaying, praise God, hallelujah, amen. They get to moving. They start praying, oh, Lord, please, Lord, please, Lord, my Lord, oh, Lord, Lord, my Lord. I mean, they get to move and you start going, glory, hallelujah. But I mean, the further they go, the longer they go, the more unbelief and doubt they say. It didn't take Jesus long to pronounce a blessing. The next time you go into a place and you know people are confused and doubting and fighting, they, in old Texas terms, they're raising hell there. You know what I'm talking about? I don't think you understand. I'm going to make it plain for you people. They've been raising hell in there. You go in there and say, man, y'all been raising hell in here, haven't you? I want you to know, I speak peace to this place. Peace be upon you. Peace overcomes hell. Speak peace over your children that have gone astray. In the name of Jesus. You say, but you don't know what they're doing. You have the power to remit it. You've been breathed upon. You've been touched by God. You got that breath, that anointing living on the inside of you. Remit those things in Jesus' name. breathe peace upon them. Woo, glory to God. And so here, Thomas said, notice these words right here. These are damnable words. I will not believe. I will not believe. That's the last words in verse 25. I will not believe. And after 8 days, of course, the disciples were in. Thomas was with him. Jesus stood. You know, Jesus came in, the door being shut. He said, peace be unto you. Verse 27. And then he said unto Thomas, he said, reach hither thy finger and behold my hands. This is why I wanted to straighten out for Bill O'Reilly on Fox News. Bill O'Reilly just released a book, you know, a couple months ago called Killing Jesus. And I was very interested in this book to see what Bill would know about killing Jesus. And he hired these people to go over to, you know, Jerusalem and study the, you know, the historical view of Jesus. The historical view of Jesus is important, but I want you to know there's a present view of Jesus you need to grasp also. What Jesus is doing right now. Amen. At the right hand of God. Hallelujah. Glory. Amen. There's a present view. But so Bill O'Reilly, you know, in all of his intelligence, he said Jesus did not take the nail spikes in his hand. He took them somewhere up in here in his arm or in his wrist, way up in here. And he said, because his weight of the hand would not hold him. And I understand what the natural man says. The natural man says the weight of a 185, you know, pound man, when you put spikes in his hands, the weight of this hand, because the bone structure in the hand does not have enough structure to hold a man of 185, 190 pound man up. But we're not talking about a normal nail. We're not talking about a normal hand. We're talking about a nail spike that God places there. And notice right here what Jesus said to Thomas. He said, reach hither thy hand. Amen. He said, behold my hands. Behold my hands. The nail prints were in his hands. And somehow that was God's nail. It is possible for God to nail his son to the cross and that nail hold his son on the cross for several hours until the sun set. Praise God. And so when he appeared, that's my beef with Bill O'Reilly. Just about everything else, I agree with him on. Praise God. In fact, I'd like to have an autographed copy of his book, Killing Jesus, so I could sell it on eBay. But anyway, he said right here now, notice right here, thrust your hand into my side. And notice what he said. You can choose. Be not faithless, but believing. Don't be faithless. Many times a thought coming into your mind would say, if God really loves me, he wouldn't allow this to happen to me. Don't be faithless. That's in your past. Your future is going to be brighter than your past. Don't allow something that has happened to you to destroy your future. All of us have had things in our past that have been devastating. But don't be faithless anymore. The power of God and the breath of God will raise you up over the devastating event that's happened to you. Whether you've been abused by an uncle, a daddy, or a mother, no matter what has happened to you, praise God, don't be faithless anymore, but be believing. Glory. And notice what he said right here. And Thomas answered and said in verse 28, he got real religious. He said, my Lord and my God. Well, you know Thomas is saved because on the pronouncing of the Lordship of Christ, he's saved. But he said, my Lord. Everybody say, my Lord. My God. Praise God. He got real happy all of a sudden. But notice what Jesus said. Jesus said unto him, and this is what we looked at last week, but the Holy Spirit wanted to go over this one point. Understanding one of the mysteries of faith is not living by what you see. Faith has so much to do with what you see. Because what you see could stop you from living in faith. If you allow what you see in the natural to stop you, it can stop you. But notice what he said right here. Jesus said, Thomas, because thou hast seen, thou hast believed. Now he's about to pronounce another blessing on you. Blessed are they that have not seen and yet have believed. Now this is just not the principle about Jesus Christ. This is the central truth and the mystery of faith how faith operates and works in your life. This is the currency that cashes and brings the miracles to you in Jesus' name, because blessed are they that have not seen and do believe, praise God. This is what causes a miracle to come to you, because you believe even though your sight is not in agreement with what you're desiring. You see, faith has power over sight. What you see is going to change, not your faith. What you're seeing is about to change through the power of the Word. The Word has power over sight. Your words, God's Word, living on the inside of you, have power over sight. The Bible said, God said, then he saw. So saying goes before seeing. If you say what you see, you'll be defeated. But you say what God says, it changes what you see. It's not you doing it, it's the Word of God living in you. If you say what you see, you focus on what you see, you're going to be defeated. But if you say what God says, it's going to change what you see, praise God. It's a spiritual truth of understanding the mystery of faith that would work for everybody. Your words has power over what you see. And he said it's a blessing when you're operating in that spiritual truth. Hallelujah. This is what created the world. Words created the world. We live in a world that was created by words. Everything that you see was created by words. God created everything by his words. Amen. The mountain that you see right now that you're faced with, I want you to know words can rule that mountain. Words created the mountain. Words can rule that mountain. It can be a word-ruled mountain. The moment you begin to speak to that mountain, I want you to know that mountain begins to move in Jesus' name. Now, how do you move the mountain? Well, first of all, you got to get the word in your mouth. You got to have a word-ruled mouth. If you will rule your mouth with the word and rule your mind with the word, your mountain doesn't have a chance. Your body doesn't have a chance. Your body, which needs a healing, will get in line soon as your words are ruled by the Word of God, and your thoughts, your mind is ruled by the Word of God. When you get your mind and your mouth ruled by the Word, your body immediately has to adjust to what you're saying and what you're thinking. It has to begin to minister life and health and healing unto your body, which is made from the dirt, made from the ground. Hallelujah. When you begin to speak what the Word says and you begin to line up your mind with the Word, you begin to have what you say. The greatest concept of the Old Testament was, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. You know that concept in the Bible. How many's ever heard that concept? As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. That's the greatest concept of the Old Testament. But that concept of the Old Testament was overruled by Jesus Christ. He came with a new concept. He said these words in Matthew, the 6th chapter. He said, take no thought saying. Take no thought. Don't allow a thought to live by saying it. And then Jesus said that a person has whatsoever he saith. So you take the most powerful concept of the Old Testament, as a man thinketh in his heart, so is he, and you take the Jesus principles that a person has whatever they say. Soon as you begin to line up your thinking with the Word, you have a word-ruled mind and a word-ruled mouth, you will have a word-ruled world and a word-ruled mountain. Your mountain your problems says, man, I got to move. I got to move. How come? His mind is ruled by the word. His mouth is ruled by the word. The body that is sick, your mouth is ruled by the word. Your mind is ruled by the word. The body says, I got to receive healing right now. Healing's got to flow on the inside of me right now in Jesus' name. Because my mouth is ruled, my mind is ruled. Because we know people can think on things and make themselves sick. But we also know people get sick. And we also know people didn't do anything to get sick. We also know and do believe it's not their sin that makes them sick. We also believe and know that Adam's sin, the sin that he brought into the world, caused disease. Not your sin causes disease. But we do know that Jesus bore our sins and carried our sorrows, and by his stripes we are healed. Hallelujah. And so soon as we're ruled with our mouth by the word of God, and we're ruled our mind by the word of God, it's not long that your body and your finances, amen, finances begins to flow. Because your mouth and your mind are in harmony. Hallelujah. Amen. See, when Jesus woke up from the storm, he was tired. He was asleep. They were in fear. He was tired. It's not by accident. It just lets you know that you could be tired physically, but it doesn't stop the word of God from operating in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. You could have a tired body, but it doesn't stop the word of God from operating in Jesus' name. You could say, I didn't get enough sleep last night, so this is not a good time for me to pray. No, it doesn't stop. Your physical being does not stop the power of the kingdom of God, because faith is the currency that operates in that kingdom every day, 24 hours a day, praise God. And immediately it has power over fear in your life. Fear was the disease that got in Adam after he fell. Immediately, fear began to master him. And it's not long that fear begins to rise up in people, rises up in their thoughts and in their mouth. And then their fear ruled. You go to the doctor, you just can't go into the doctor and just stand there and go, he said, what's wrong with you? No, he says, what's wrong with you? You start telling him. You start telling him, you start talking to him, you start telling him your symptoms. Humans automatically want to tell the problem that they're faced with. Fear is the problem. But faith has power automatically over fear.